Hi, everybody. My name is Kat, and I am a grateful recovering cannabis addict. I am, as I like to say, addicted to more of just about anything. Starting out young with alcohol, and then transitioning to pot, and still struggling with approval and sugar and food in general, I guess. But I'm proud to say I have a year and 3 days today, and never in my wildest dreams would I have believed that I could be here talking to you all or being clean that long. I did quit alcohol 4 years and 6 months ago. It was the easier thing for me to quit because I hit rock bottom. And I'm sure that that would have happened eventually with marijuana. It just seems to be a more, I don't know, insidious kind of slow drip for me, whereas alcohol was definitely a crash and burn kind of situation. So I was able to do that. I did not quit through AA. I quit through a different program, but I find myself really so grateful to be in 12-step now because definitely driving my personal, mental, spiritual recovery on a lot of different levels. So yeah, I've been I used pot for close to 30 years. In high school, I never used, and I always felt a little kind of self-righteous about that. You know, watching other people use, my boyfriend or whatever, and I would always think to myself, oh, at least I'm not, you know, I'm not a pothead like that. And I had a lot of judgment around it, which is kind of interesting, but I drank. I started drinking when I was 13. So, you know, growing up in a small town, not a lot to do. My parents, you know, they did their best. My mom, I was adopted, and she was rough on me. She was a narcissist, I would say. You know, I kind of grew up feeling, I was depressed a lot of my life growing up, felt really alone, not really understood. And so I was always looking for ways to escape. You know, I wanted to get out of my body a lot. I wanted to be somewhere else. And I lived in my head, you know, incorporating what I guess what you call magical thinking, just kind of making up my own little story about my life to escape what the reality was that was pretty unbearable. I just didn't feel I didn't feel like I had the emotional connection that I needed growing up, and so. So as soon as I hit puberty, I started to search for that. And so first it was alcohol, and then later on in college, I started smoking pot, you know, sporadically, once in a while, on the weekends kind of thing. I used other drugs as well, but the pot, just for me, it just became real reliable. It's just a real reliable source of escape, I would say. And so never thought I had a problem, never thought about it. Always, you know, was seeking out friends who were also potheads or just, you know, okay with it. It was like I was like, I magnetized people like myself, right? And so my addiction started, I would say, in my like real deep addiction, like really just needing it every day in my 20s. And I did all the things in the book, you know, created my own little world, my own little universe. And at the same time, I always considered myself a very spiritual person, but it was to the point where I didn't feel like life without marijuana was real life. It was more quite the opposite. I needed it to be creative. I needed it to be awake. I needed it to sleep. I needed it to make life more interesting. I would use that phrase in my head. Well, this is going to be more interesting if I smoke. I can get through this day better if I smoke. And that's basically how I lived my life for a really, 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 really long time. Totally in denial about my use and that it was a problem. So, yeah, I was what you would call a high class functioning donor, like super, super high functioning. I did everything on it. I'd smoke in the morning, I'd smoke all day. I would kind of pace myself, like I knew that I wouldn't feel as high as I would like if I didn't wait for a couple of hours. So I was very calculated in my use, but also very secretive. It was not, you know, other than my close friends, it was not something that I thought people knew about. Certainly not my family, certainly not, you know, any colleagues of mine or people close to me. I didn't really like people to be close to me, get too close. But I consider myself really spiritual. I pursued avenue, you know, alternative avenues of spirituality, you might say. I was into all sorts of esoteric, magical kinds of things. And I recall taking some meditation classes back in the 80s and traveling a ways to get there. And it was actually psychic, it was like psychic, you know, psychic methods kind of things, like strengthening intuition and psychic learning to read and all these things. And so I got this little reading, it was like a free reading at the end of a course, and I would call this young woman giving me this quick reading for free, and she's like, "Well," she's like, I don't want to say that I," she says, "I feel like you're like on LSD or something. I don't want to say you're on LSD, but there's definitely something going on." And I was like, "Hmm," and I didn't say anything, of course. And she's like, thought about it for a minute, and then she says, "Well, it just feels to me like you have discovered a very effective way to get out of your body." And boy, did that hit home. At the time, I was like, wow, she's right. That's what I'm trying to do. And it wasn't even that my life, you know, my life had evolved past my troubled childhood. I had gone on and graduated and made friends and had jobs and got into, you know, relationships, and it wasn't that life was serving me up anything that I should have needed to get away from, but I don't know, I was just in this pattern of needing to get out of my body and I think to a large degree out of my head too. So, you know, life went on that way. I was very high functioning. I got married, I had two kids. I went back to school, got a teaching credential, started a job, met somebody else while I was still married, got together with them, divorced, married the second dude, had another kid, got a master's degree. Like, I was living life, but I definitely was not living life. I was just functioning, and I have many regrets. I regret not being there for my kids, not being more present throughout those times, and And it saddens me to think of, it saddens me to recognize that I have such a lack of memory around big pieces of my life that were, you know, very, very important pieces. So, I don't know. I would say it's been about 8 years since I finally realized, you know, this might be a problem. This might not be normal that I smoke every day, that I feel so dependent on this. As I was pursuing more and different spiritual avenues, I think my consciousness started getting clearer. My vibration started to rise up a little bit when I was, especially when I was doing a lot of yoga and meditation. And sometimes I would do it high, sometimes I wouldn't, but most of the time high. And trying to hide it from my husband, who was a physician, and of course knew all the time, because he knew. But me thinking that he didn't, or trying to fool myself that he didn't, was, it's pretty funny to think about now. But so I started trying to quit. I would say I had been trying to quit for about 7 or 8 years. And I think the longest I ever had was 5 months. And at that point, I knew there was a problem. I knew it, because who can't just quit? Like, if I could just quit, then it wouldn't be a problem. So I tried multiple times to quit, multiple times to quit. And each time, you know, returning to it, I felt this sense of relief, like, oh, like it had become my normal. And so through a series of events, well, there was COVID and legalization here in California was thrilling for me. Obviously, it was so much easier, and my God, you know, the different strains, it was stronger, I was high longer, I was higher for longer periods of time. And then towards the end of COVID, I just was trying so hard to clean up my act, and I just was like, I gotta get off this. So it was actually, I was about 2 months in and of being clean, and I had an accident and broke my leg and went through surgery and 3 months of recovery, clean and sober. Looking back, it was amazing that I could do it, but then I don't know, it was just too much. At about the 3 month in point of my recovery, I needed to get out of my body, like legitimately needed to. That's just how I felt, right? And at that point, my adult daughter was using, so it was easy for me to make excuses. And she was, you know, helping me make excuses for myself. And again, felt this relief to be back on it. So that was about 2.5 years ago. And so back on it again, and went through a lot of change, the broken leg, and then left my second husband, who I was starting to see a pattern with the kinds of relationships that I was choosing, and felt like I was repeating a pattern of abuse, just people who were not there for me, people who were not able to, you know, not emotionally available and emotionally abusive, really. So after I broke my leg, everything just kind of came crashing in, and I decided I needed to get out, and I moved out. I was trying, you know, I felt like it was really a brave thing to pick up and leave after 20 years with this man, and everything we had built together, and but I wasn't clean. I was sober, but I wasn't clean, and moved out on my own, and then, of course, had a great excuse to just escape, right, because the stress of all of that, and worked through that, and then about a year went by, just lots of things happened. Life happens, right? Life happens, whether you're there for it or not. And I was like half there. I was there in my body, but my soul was dying. And I finally went to my doctor. And I said, dude, I need help. And he said, okay, let's get you into this outpatient recovery through the hospital. And you have to go to these meetings and for 3 months, twice a week. And I just had resisted meetings. I again, like I hadn't used AA for quitting alcohol. I'd used a different program. And I had all the classic, you know, I'm not going to say God, and that's not who I, you know, I'm not lining up with that. And AA is for men. Women don't need to be humble. We need to, you know, hold each other up. All these kind of preconceived ideals I had about the program. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to these meetings. That was group meetings to the hospital, and it was a bunch of really nice people, and I loved the counselor. And she said, okay, so part of this program is you have to do 12 outside meetings. And I was like, here we go, right? So I did some research, and I found MMA online. But I really was like, I was isolating, recognizably isolating, and so in need of, you know, people. But at the same time, terrified. And so I was like, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to make this change and try to find an in-person meeting. There's not a lot of in-person meetings for MA. It's really kind of sad and frustrating. But I did find one, and I went, and I felt really brave to do it. And as soon as I walked in, it was like a little miracle in my life to connect with people like me. Particularly women. In my case, I found a women's meeting, in-person meeting, and I was really, really grateful to find it. And so I completed my 3 months, and then I started another session to the hospital, and then continued with the MA meetings once or twice a week, and I haven't looked back. So now my life is very different. At the end of my youth, I was extremely paranoid, high anxiety all the time. Just looking back now, I just don't even know how my nervous system was handling it. And you know, my adrenal glands were just shot, and I was really dying. My soul was really dying. And my life now, a year in, I don't think about it. I don't think about it one bit. I go to my meetings. I attended the conference last fall, got so much out of it. And there's just such strength here and such generosity of spirit that I don't believe, I really think the world needs more of it. Like, I think probably everybody could find something to go to 12-step about. Again, I'm addicted to more. I like more of anything. And I'm so grateful to have found MA. I'm only on my fourth step. I'm about halfway through. I don't know if I'll ever be done with my fourth step. There's a lot to unpack, so much to unpack. But I go to therapy as well, and my therapist helps me. And And I would recommend anybody that can do that to do that as well. Really helped me kind of get clear on where I'm at. But yeah, I'm like in the middle of my fourth step, and I think I'll probably be doing that step for a while, and it's okay. And I think through this program and through just a lot of hard work, hard personal work, I realized that I am okay, you know, even when I fuck up, if I crave tomorrow, it would be okay because I know that I'm not going to use because I have the program and I have, and I know what to do. I have the tools. And one of my really important tools as well is just what I call radical self-care. And it doesn't mean that I just do whatever I want. It, you know, on a lot of levels, self-care for me is also self-discipline. But I have certain routines that I know are going to be nurturing and nourishing for me, and I try to pursue those things daily. And I go to my meetings, and I try to be just really gentle with myself. And the gentler I am with myself, the more I find myself being gentler with others. And one of my shortcomings is, you know, judgment of others in my mind. And now it's not that it's happening less, but I'm just so aware. I'm so much more aware of all my thoughts and feelings. And sometimes it can be scary, but I work that through in my journal or with my therapist or in a share. And I guess I'm rambling a little bit at this point, but I hope that something I said tonight can help someone. And I'm really honored to be here speaking for you all tonight. But yeah. I think that's it.